It's a heavy one. There's a lot here. This is the first of three chapters from what are called the Upper Room Discourse. It's a deeply theological and strong-handed encouragement to the disciples to not give up, to remember him. What they don't know yet is he's about to die. And so he's giving them some warning. These are things you guys need to be thinking about in the coming weeks and months. Let me read this from John chapter 14. Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who's doing this work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. Because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Then Judas Iscariot said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I've spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. You heard me say I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he has come so that the world may learn that I love the Father, and I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Friends, this is the words of our Savior Jesus. Thanks be to God. Man, how could anyone possibly understand what Jesus is trying to say here? There is layers and layers of things. We could spend an entire summer breaking down sentences on this passage and barely get in to what Jesus is trying to describe. So we've got a half hour. I'll see how I do. It's thick, you guys. But what's wonderful about this passage in John 14 is it's not just information. Jesus isn't just telling the disciples things for them to know. He's forming them. Not just information, but formation. He's giving them hope that when things get really difficult, that there's something deeper happening behind the scenes. He says, you don't get it right now, and I don't expect you to understand what's going on, but I want you to remember this. There will be a time when things will feel horrible, but I promise an advocate will come for you. And if I don't leave, that advocate will never come. Friends, that's confusing. We've been on Wednesday nights doing the series on Jesus' farewell message. It's covering these three chapters. And Francis Chan poses that question in the video. Why would anyone want Jesus to be gone? I thought, that's a really interesting way to look at that. It never crossed my mind that Jesus said, it's better for you that I'm gone. That does not make a lot of sense, because you would want Jesus to be near you. But there's something deeper happening in this. It's as if the Spirit of God cannot come until Jesus leaves. This deeper abiding presence of our Savior comes through the power of His Spirit. And if He's there in flesh, we can know Him and see Him. But there's deeper ministry happening in our lives when the Spirit lives in us rather than next to us. And I love this. Thomas, no idea what's going on. He says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And this, you know, one of the passages, John 14, 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So, at least for me, like Thomas, I want to know the way to eternal life. I want to know, what am I supposed to do? How do I make sure that I can get there? Do you guys feel that? Day to day, you know you want to get there. You want to be safe. You want to be affirmed in your salvation. You say, all right, Jesus, make sure that I can do this. But he's not telling Thomas the way. He's inviting him into a relationship. Friends, our salvation is not a way. Our salvation is a person. It's a life lived with Christ. That's why in the end, when Jesus shares that those who've done great works in his name will come and they'll ask him for salvation, and he'll say, I never knew you. And they'll say, well, I did all these amazing things. Jesus says, get away from me. I don't know who you are. But there will be those who did great works in his name, but knew him. And they'll come to Jesus, and he will say, come into my home, my friend. I've been expecting you. Friends, he's inviting us to know him. And how do you know that you know him? By doing good works. It's not do good works and you know him, but the works that we do in our life, the way Christ flows out of us in love and care and mercy for others, for the hope and the promise that our lives express to those who are looking and hungry for salvation. They can look to you and say, what do you got that I don't know? Teach me the way. And you say, it's not a way. It's my friend. There's a life that I'm following, a shepherd. We're going to do a little Greek. I know you guys love it when we do this. Jesus promises the spirit of truth, aletheleios, not just fact, but truth, the kind of truth that holds, it anchors, it transforms. This is the truth that God binds his covenants to. It's more true than the chair you're sitting on, more true than the sun rising in the morning. Aletheleios is the truth, capital T, unfailing truth. That is the Spirit of Christ who's coming to you. When we drink the wine and Jesus says, this is the blood of my new covenant, my truth for you is eternal life. And that life comes through my spirit, we call truth. That truth is a reality. It's our revelation. It's the truth of a relationship shared by the Spirit of God. A genuine reality, a state of being, dynamic act of unveiling. It reminds me of the unveiling of the holy place, the curtain. We see that reflected in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John doesn't reflect on that, but there's this unveiling of the curtain in the holy place, this divide between where God abided and his people. But at Christ's death, that veil was torn. And the presence of God came out from behind the veil, and the truth, the aletheleios, has been revealed to us. The Father invites us to abide with him. It's no longer behind a curtain. There's another promise here. Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians and Ephesians, he describes the Holy Spirit as a down payment, which is a really interesting metaphor, an interesting way to think about the Spirit of God as a down payment. Because what happens when you make a down payment? More is coming. For those who have a mortgage or a car or whatever, you put money towards it. That's a promise to the bank that you're going to keep paying until it's paid off. Paul says the Holy Spirit is Christ's down payment for our salvation. So when the Spirit of God comes in us and we live in the Spirit, we can be hopeful that down payment will pay off. God's truth doesn't give up. It doesn't quit. When he says it, it will be. And Jesus even reminded us when he said to the disciples, I'm going to go away, but I will come back. Man, what a great hope that is. So knowing this, then, that the Spirit of God is no longer behind the veil, that the true reality of God's presence is now among us, within us, inviting us to continue in a relationship, that, friends, we now are the divine presence of God. It's in us. We are his temple. Not just me, not just you, but us. Together are the temple of the Creator. So maybe this is hard to understand, but maybe it's more important for us to live it than to try to understand that. I think understanding, and Jesus says this, the Spirit's going to reveal the truth. I think that understanding, what that means, only comes through living it. And here that Spirit, Jesus calls the Spirit the Parakletos, the helper, the one who comes alongside, our comforter, our intercessor, our advocate, our encourager, our strengthener, the one who holds us up, keeps us going, our advocate. Friends, the Spirit of God plays an active and supportive role in our lives, pointing us to Jesus, always reminding us of where our Savior is. And then this word Spirit is pneuma. That's the Greek. Pneuma. Breath and wind. This intimate, ever-present nature. What's the next word I have up there? My notes are a little backwards. He's making notes. Oh, that was it. Okay. So, Aiden, go to that next slide. All right, so we've got these two Greek words, parakleton, pneuma. These are two descriptors that Jesus uses for the Spirit. This is the Spirit I'm sending you. A English translation, this is my Nathan Alley translation of this, is the breath of help. The Spirit that I send you is the breath of help. This intimate closeness, it's in you. You breathe it. It guides you. It leads you. Genesis 1, one of my favorite images is the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And that same word in Hebrew is breath, wind. God is present in every moment. He's here. He's not behind the veil. He's not up behind some clouds. He's here in us. The Holy Spirit's not a gust of guilty conscience, friends. The Holy Spirit's not a wind of the life of demand. He's not a sneeze of inconvenienced God. Our Holy Spirit is the breath of help. Take a deep breath. The Spirit of God is present, you guys. And then Jesus goes on, he says this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace." We've talked about this before. This peace, this Greek word is irene, but the famous Hebrew shalom. Peace, shalom, I leave you. And that language is not a piece of human sense of peace, a modern 20th century sense of peace where there's no longer war. It's included in that, right? When I think of peace, I think about being on my front porch in the summer at 7 a.m, watching the animals scurry about, drinking coffee. That's peaceful. I guess that's part of shalom, but it's not all of it. Friends, when Christ says, "I give you shalom," he's saying, "I'm giving you an absolute, accomplished completeness. That there will not be war. There will not be conflict. There will be rest. There will be enjoyment again. Life is so difficult. I am hungry for shalom, a sense of God's presence and peace, that there is goodness." Friends, the Spirit, the breath of help, is the peace of God. The Spirit of God is peace. And again, Jesus does not expect us to understand all this. I certainly think he did not expect his disciples to understand, because they did not even know he was about to go die. And Thomas is a great example. Show us the way, Jesus. Friends, Jesus' words are there to rest on their hearts for the time when his Spirit could reveal it. The one who explains it. The one who brings light to the life of Christ. I just want you to take a second and consider the Spirit of God, the breath of help. You can close your eyes. Jesus isn't giving peace like the world gives peace, through control or escape, but through his presence. That sense of hope, of goodness, the Spirit, our parakleton pneuma, brings his peace. Just got a couple things left here. So, maybe 3 months ago, I was taking my son to a volleyball tournament in Castle Rock, and it had snowed the day before, and he's learning to drive, right? So, you know, as a parent, it's already nerve-wracking to try to teach your children to drive, but then when there's snow on the ground, it's even more terrifying. So we're pulling off the exit and turning off the on-ramp, and then we go and turn toward where the volleyball gymnasium is. And I'm not kidding. There's a pile of slush that's maybe 8 inches deep going about a third of the way into the road. Now, someone who's experienced driving would know you should drive around the slush, because otherwise your tires are going to get caught up on that. You're going to glide and ruin your tires or your wheels or your suspension, and then you're going to be stranded there. So you go, all right, I'm just going to drive around it. Well, here's the problem. When you have a 15-year-old who's learning to drive and they have been told that you stay in the lane, and then the father says, drive around the snow, they're conflicted, right? Because I'm not supposed to cross the yellow line, but dad said, drive around it. So what does a 15-year-old do? Drive straight through the snow, and what happens? We hydroplane and start skidding toward the curb, and at the end, we got there, and I didn't lose fellowship, perhaps. But I was talking as loud as I could, and my heart was racing. And I apologized. I said, I'm sorry, that was intense. And he went in, and I just sat in the car, caught my breath. It was terrifying. I know the rules don't say cross the line, but if you stay in the slush, you're going to spin out. I'm telling you, go around the slush. But the law says stay in the lane. Obey the rules. That's what makes you good. But the spirit of that law says we want you to be safe. We want you to be wise. So what's the role of the Holy Spirit here as we're considering this friend, this person, the presence? Jesus even says, I'm not throwing the law away. The law is not bad within itself. It just is incomplete. The law of God cannot account for every slushy road in life. So Jesus invites us then to abide. The spirit of wisdom, of peace, of help lives in us. You know the law, but it's not about the law. It's about life. So when the pneuma of help, the breath of help comes, we're no longer just trying to obey rules. We're listening to the voice of our Savior Jesus, saying there's danger ahead. Take a different path. You guys know that voice? The one that says, don't do the thing that you're about to do. There's danger ahead. And my dumb, rebellious self likes to learn lessons the hard way. I say, Jesus, you don't know what you're talking about. Trust me. And then as I move about, the Spirit abides and says, see, I am trustworthy. Jesus said, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing. And they'll do even greater things because I'm going to the Father. And we'll do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I'll do it. Friends, it's not just about obeying the law. It's not just about staying in the lane, but it's about the invitation of the Spirit of God to call us into His good life, the life of promise and hope. And Jesus says it right here. And this is unbelievable. Everything I have is yours. And I tell you this now, you will do more than I've done. Just ask for it. Just ask. Well, God, I didn't deserve it. I don't earn it. And He says, no, that's right. But my Father in heaven does it all. This isn't some spiritual aspiration that He's describing. It's the Father's heart for an overflowing generosity for His children. Our Father in heaven wants to give good gifts. Pull that fake checkup there. I made this. It's from the bank of a cattle on a thousand hills, 777 Gold Street, New Jerusalem, Revelation 21, 21. Jesus, the Son of Man, signed the check, and then He dare write the Son of God in His signature. That's John 3:16, the check number. Those are some other verse references in the bottom. There's a check that's been signed and available to you. Now, for those on our leadership team, they know that I typed this up this last week with a letter and put it in the mailbox for the people who've been stealing our mail. And I wrote the letter in both Spanish and English because I don't know who's taking it. And here's what the letter said. Dear friend, we know you're looking for something, but what you truly need can't be found in this mailbox. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open to you. He not only knows your needs, but wants to provide for you in a way that stealing never can. If you're lacking something today, I invite you to try something different. Instead of taking what isn't yours, pray to Jesus. He owns all the silver and gold and the cattle on a thousand hills. You don't need to steal. You need to trust the one who can give you more than you ever imagined. Jesus loves you. Even now, He offers you forgiveness and a new start. Just ask. Signed, Applewood Community Church. So I put that in the mailbox on Monday, came in on Tuesday morning, and it was gone, and I thought, they took it. Turns out our very diligent administrator took the mail out, thinking, what kind of moron puts mail in an open mailbox? That is a very valid question. So I don't know. I don't know if we put, did we get that put back in there yet or not yet? It's still on me. Friends, we have access to the riches of the kingdom through our counselor, our helper, our breath of help, who's present beyond the veil, all surrounding in everything, the Spirit of the Father and Jesus, our advocate and teacher. When Jesus says, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. He's telling us that the Spirit can only come when he's gone. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus can be more present in you than he can be in the flesh. By the Spirit, God moves past the veil and lives in you. By the Spirit, our Father in heaven becomes accessible. Our Father becomes near. He's looking for those who will abide. Forgetting obligation to the law and expectations of the world, Holy Spirit is not an abstract theological concept, but a present, active companion who offers us shalom and help in every moment. Do you believe it? Because it's unbelievable. We'll invite our worship team up. We'll go to the next slide. I want to ask you guys, as they bring up some music, I want you to look at this list. Which column are you living in? Jesus tells us there's more. Advocate will teach you all things, remind you of everything. Now the Spirit, the Father, has come to make his home in you. You have access to the life of God. The world who doesn't know him only knows scarcity and brokenness and shame. The world knows obligation. The world knows guilt, rules, condemnation, control, isolation. The world remembers our stains. The world gives us anxiety and judges us. But our Spirit, who's here to help us, is offering you abundance and healing and mercy and devotion and forgiveness and grace and truth and good leadership and comfort. Friends, the Holy Spirit washes us and gives us peace. As we reflect on these incredible promises and more, this is not an exhaustive list. Regardless of where you find yourself today, whether you're feeling overwhelmed by your life circumstances, maybe you're seeking direction for a decision. Maybe you're sensing a distance from God or simply longing for more of his presence. You must know the Spirit of God is here. You have access to all of this. Our Paraclete, breath of help, is present. Not just a concept or some distant idea, but a real active companion. Right now in this space, you are invited to hear his voice. This word of encouragement, of peace, direction, comfort, love. The Holy Spirit knows your heart, sees your struggles, and he longs to speak to you in a deeply personal way. I want you guys to stand up. Before we go into singing, I just want to take a second. I want to ask you to take this moment. Maybe it's a minute, maybe two. Phil can sense that. But I want us to listen. Close your eyes. And breathe deeply. And open your heart to what the Spirit says to you today.